Welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark A. Bell. Gentlemen.
Hey, Mark, how are you?
I'm good.
Good. You've got a great poem here. We're going to look this week at lung cancer screening. I love screening in general, and I think that it's one of those things that, you know, we've gotten some amazing advantage from some screening tests, and other screening tests have sort of led us to circle the drain. Lung cancer screening is one of those that's a little bit confusing, not because lung cancer isn't serious. Lung cancer is still the leading cause of cancer-related deaths among women and among men. About 250,000 new cases diagnosed in the U.S. Each year, about 160 lung cancer deaths in the United States. Perhaps the story is even gloomier when one takes a more global view. It's estimated that somewhere about 1.5 million deaths occur each year in the world that are smoking related. And the smoking rates, while they're creeping down in the United States, about 15% of people in the United States currently smoke. That's down from about 28% a couple of decades ago. So that is something to be proud of. Unfortunately, in many places of the world, it is increasing. Places like Asia, specifically India and Sri Lanka and places like that. So what about screening? When you look at screening tests, lots of things in lung cancer suggest that screening should be effective. It's got high morbidity and mortality. It's got a significant prevalence. We have identified risk factors that allow us to target high-risk individuals. In other words, those who smoke. There's a lengthy preclinical phase for some types of lung cancer. And the evidence is that therapy, that is surgery, is more effective if diagnosed early than if diagnosed late. So there are lots of reasons to think that lung cancer screening might be useful. In all fairness, there are some negatives. The important one is that if we use CT scanning, there's a high dose of radiation. But there's also issues like patient distress, you know, the issue of false positives that contributes to patient distress, issues of overdiagnosis. And that means that things that are found when you're getting a CAT scan that would have never, ever made a difference in the person's life, and now they lead to all kinds of anxiety and worry. Anyways, you've chosen an article from JAMA Internal Medicine. It attempts to answer the clinical question, what can patients expect when they undergo computerized tomography to screen for lung cancer? This is sort of a patient-centric article. It was published 2017. It begins on page 399. Mark, what did they find?
Well, this is a really important question. You know, the National Lung Screening Trial found a significant reduction in lung cancer-specific mortality. I think the number needed to screen was around 320, and a reduction in all-cause mortality of a number needed to screen of 220. During this study, I think at an average of about 3.5 years of follow-up. So there were some significant benefits, and that's actually, you know, better than some of the cancer screenings that we routinely advocate for, like breast cancer screening, for example, in terms of the number needed to screen to prevent one death. That said, there are also potentially a lot of harms. So we're talking about using CT scan that has radiation. We're talking about biopsies and follow-ups and worry. And as you mentioned, overdiagnosis, which is estimated to be around 20% or so in lung cancer screening. So this study looked at 8 academic medical centers, 93,000 primary care patients, almost all men, 96% were men. So I think this was probably a VA-based study. Researchers identified 4,246 current or former smokers and cigarette smokers who had quit less than 15 years ago and smoked a minimum of 30 pack years, which is the group we're looking at. So of those, about half of the patients had a screening CT. Overall, 60% had a positive or abnormal finding, which is crazy high. One or more nodules needed to be followed in over half of these patients. A total of 73 patients had findings suspicious for cancer. 31, which is about 1.5%, had that diagnosis confirmed within the next year. So basically, for appropriately screened patients undergoing CT, more than half get a positive result. 94% of those need additional follow-up, I mean repeated scans, in some cases biopsy. 1 in 17 are told they may have lung cancer. Only about 1 in 42 with a positive result actually have lung cancer. So I think it's this kind of data is going to be really important as we, you know, continue to assess lung cancer screening. I think an important thing to remember, the recommendation was made for people 50 to 85, which or 55 to 80, I think it is, mm-hmm. and at least 30 pack years. When the data were looked at more closely, it's really current smokers in their 60s that have the greatest benefit where the screening is most cost effective. And my personal feeling is if we're going to be doing it, that's really the group we should be targeting the most. I think the benefit of doing it in an 83-year-old is probably pretty minimal. And also the benefit of doing it in people who've quit smoking 10 years ago is also quite diminished compared to those current smokers in their 60s.
Where do you think this should go? I mean, are we going to leave this up to doctors or to insurance companies, or do we want to have some sort of a review panel? It's one thing if you're talking about perhaps a PSA test, you know, which is $68. The test itself is $68. But with these CT scans, you know, they can be, you know, over $1,000 when you include reading fees and things. Do we just let this go and have people order them appropriately or hope that they're going to order them appropriately?
Well, generally, I mean, in order to pay for it, for Medicare to pay for it and most insurance plans, essentially patients have to meet these criteria that were specified in the USPSTF recommendation that we just mentioned. They also have to undergo some basic counseling that says here are what the, you know, good things and the bad things potentially that could happen to you. And then after all that, if they agree, then they go ahead and can get the screening. There's also there's ongoing tracking of the results like what we're seeing in the study. And so hopefully over the next few years, we'll have a clearer idea of how this plays out in real practice. Also, the USPSTF will revisit the recommendation in about 2 years. They should be on schedule to do that in about 2 years. And at that time, they may update it. They may look at some of these newer data. They may look at the implementation data and either scale back or maybe continue the same recommendation. But certainly, they'll have some additional data to look at. And there are also some ongoing trials. I was just in Italy meeting with some public health folks there, and they have an ongoing lung cancer screening trial. I think it was the Dante trial, where they're still gathering data on that. So there's probably will be some additional new data on lung cancer screening.
It would be nice if CDC or somebody could put together animations that show some of these risks and benefits. I think that they would help those of us in primary care to try to talk a patient through what are the advantages. As soon as you get into talking about false positives and false negatives, many, not all, but many of our patients' eyes gloss over and they, you know, lose what we're talking about.
Well, you know, I think the task force is trying to do more of that. And, you know, I know when I was on it, there were several of us that were pushing to see us do more to communicate more clearly. And a good example of that actually was in a recent JAMA editorial that accompanied the draft recommendation on prostate cancer screening. And it was accompanied by an online appendix that had a really nice one-page infographic that showed what are the consequences if you start with 1,000 men and screen them. And I thought, you know, there are little things I might have done differently with it, but overall, I thought it was a really good effort at trying to improve communication. I think lung cancer screening needs the same thing.
Thanks, Mark. We'll talk with you again next week.
Sounds good.
That's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to look at this and other recent poems, please go to www.infopoems.com. Please join us again next week for another medical poem.